everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually Tech Episode 2 for the 17th of February 2010. Yes, we made it to a second episode.
Oh, we didn't get canceled.
We didn't get canceled. Hello, Shane. How are you? I'm Dave McVan. I'm joined in studio by Shane Gregory again. How are you, Shane?
Very good, sir.
Good? Good day at work?
Did you just call him sir? Yeah. Come on.
We're very formal here. Josh, sir. How are you, Josh, sir?
Yeah. Josh is not formal and will not be formal for any part of the show.
I'm also joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yo, I'm fine. I'm great. I've had a day off for the first time in what seems to be ages. So it was good blobbing out and doing absolutely nothing today.
Fantastic. Mm. I was saying to you just before we started the show that I happen to know that you actually had a day off because I saw you pop into Xbox Live. So
it happens sometimes. What I got really freaked out on is I keep forgetting that I set up that thing on Facebook which lets people see when you're playing games, and that really creeps me out because I got all these Facebook posts for my status which I didn't even know I had updated. And apparently it said, Josh is playing Rock Band. And I'm like, oh, man, now everyone knows.
I thought you'd be playing, isn't Guitar Hero Van Halen coming out this week?
I was thinking about it, but it's one of those ones that I'm like, yeah, I've bought that many of the goddamn expansion packs. I think I've put like every single one of their kids through college.
So. Right, and with this conversation, we have just established Josh's geekdom. And Shane, how's your week been this week? What have you been up to?
A lot of work, I can say that officially. Yeah, a lot of work.
A lot of work. Selling. We're supposed to be coming out of this economic climate at this point. We're supposed to be coming out of all these problems. How are sales on PCs and Apples and so forth going at this point? Are we seeing increase or decrease? Or
I would say our PC sales have been doing very well, only because everybody's getting into the i3s, i5s now. Mm-hmm. I guess it won't be very long until Apple decides to jump on that boat.
Well, that announcement is imminent, isn't it? Yeah. We're kind of waiting for it. All we got to wait for with Apple is for the online store to close. Because you always know that when the site comes down, something new's coming out.
Yeah.
So as soon as that site goes down, you know that there's upgrades coming. Yeah. So keep your eyes open on that. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome back to Geek Actually Tech. This is our weekly tech component of the Geek Actually Podcast Network. Monday nights we do video games, Saturdays we do movies, and on Wednesday we get to geek out completely. So far, so much so that one of our regular co-hosts, Dave Kazicki, basically bowed out and said, I don't want to do that. Because he's not really into tech. But we are here, and for the next hour, we want you to sit back and we want you to enjoy as we talk accessible tech. Tech that everybody that's going to affect you in the real world and see if we can help make things a little bit clearer, if possible. It can be a little bit hard sometimes when geeks start to talk and you go, I have no idea what you're talking about. This week, we're actually going to talk a little bit about internet censorship, and we're going to pose a question. And I'm going to pose this question to you guys right now, and you can ponder this, which is, has the tide turned a little? Are we starting to see things opening up just a little bit? And we'll address this question in the second half of the show, which is when we come in for our deep discussion. And this was really sparked by the Google China issue, and more importantly, this week, by our esteemed Senator Conroy, who is...
God bless them.
Who is an absolute moron. And obviously, by what we're going to read you later on, does not read newspapers or watch the news. Anyway, at the beginning of the show, sorry, Josh, I cut you off there. But just to let the people know, if you hear us talking about cameras, or like I said, we had a black screen at the beginning, we do go out live. You can watch this show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. So sometimes you might even catch stuff that doesn't end up in the audio podcast, quite frankly, because if we do a really big blunder or somebody falls off their chair, that'll be cut out of the audio, obviously, but would be damn funny to watch, which actually happened. Just to let you guys know, this week I was listening to This Week in Technology with Leo Laporte, and as they were doing a story, he fell off his ball. He sits on one of those big exercise balls when he does his shows. Yep. He fell off the ball, and you just heard this thump in the background. So those sort of things could be fun. Anyway, all right, let's move straight into this because we have a little bit of news, really small amount of news, actually. But those little bits of news might actually spark a little bit of conversation because we're actually going to start with one that I know is very close to Josh and Shane's heart. And that is Michael Atkinson, the South Australian Attorney General, who is the chief opposition to bringing in an R18 plus rating for games in this country. Now, why does he make the news again? A few weeks ago, actually a couple months ago now, in Geek, actually, we said that they'd started a, they had started the discussion papers, and you know, people could put their submissions in. Platforms has talked about this a lot as well, and so forth. So why is this coming up now? Well, Michael Atkinson put his foot in his mouth again, and I think we should just play the video clip. We'll play the video clip here, which will actually get us in the mood for this. He appeared on Good Game, the first episode back for 2010. They did a story on this, and this is just a quick little soundbite from him. So have a listen for those who are on audio, and for those in the chat room, you can watch this. Here we go.
But I get my electorate office email spammed. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I had a threatening note from a gamer shoved under my door. I feel that my family and I are more at risk from gamers than we are from the outlaw motorcycle gangs, who also hate me and are running a candidate against me. The outlaw motorcycle gangs haven't been hanging around my doorstep at 2 a.m. A gamer has.
All right, let's clarify the let's clarify the context on this. The outlaw bikies have not been hanging around my house. A gamer.
It's like you kind of wonder. I mean, the man is so incredibly detached from reality that I literally think that there would be this one guy that just paced up and down, maybe once or twice, or something along those lines.
Look, like, and one person hanging around your house is a psychopath. Yeah. That's not the gamers in general.
Yeah, I love the word gamer, because he's using it as like a reference to a group of people.
Mm.
Like,
I have a question too. How did he know he was a gamer? Was he like playing his PSP or something out the front?
Of course. Like, I mean, it doesn't really matter what the situation is. Of course, he's just going to put that guy, like, I mean, you said it perfectly right then. That's a psychopath. That's a man with mental issues. That's not gamers as a group.
Absolutely.
All right? Like, I mean, the rest of us, we're at home playing games at 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's what gamers do. We play games at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Anyway.
I like how funny it is with the letter on there, how he says it's a threatening letter where it says, can you please
put an RG rating? I have the feeling that that may have been a little bit of a piss take.
I think that's a little bit of editorial liberty from Good Game. I have a quote here. Actually, I have two quotes here. I have a page of quotes here, but I've highlighted two in particular. These are quotes from Michael Atkinson. One of them here, which I like, says, this is from a letter to a member of the public who wrote to Mr. Atkinson. Now, we actually published this whole letter up on Geek, actually, several weeks ago. But one juicy quote out of it said, "I think you will find this issue has little traction with my constituents who are more concerned with real-life issues than home entertainment in imaginary worlds." So, you know, it's like, can we condescend to you anymore?
Oh, yeah. You know? He will.
You know, it's like, and the other one I've got here is from the same letter. He said, "I understand." Sorry, this is the one that makes old gamers out there kind of go, ooh. He goes, "I understand the Wii console has been phenomenally successful for Nintendo, and that the system provides many games to challenge and develop skill physically and intellectually without depraved sex, gore, and cruelty." Has he played Resident Evil 5 on the Wii?
has he played any of the Resident Evil games? Has he played the Monster Hunter games? Has he played the list goes on, dude. Yeah. This,
so anyway, the man is a jerk. All right, but we have a public service announcement to make, which is, whoever this dickwad is who is pacing outside Michael Atkinson's house,
we will come and beat your head in just to save ourselves the credit. Not that that will actually help, but I would enjoy the satisfaction of just watching Michael Atkinson's eyes as he like peers out through his things with me just like with a baseball
bat. We're not saying we'll beat up Michael Atkinson. We're saying
Beat up the guy and then drag him away by one foot, waving, going...
Yeah. See, the thing is, and the reason why we say this for those who are going, oh, that's just violent. Look, video games are breeding violence. No, no, no. What we're saying here is this man and anybody else who is spamming his email account or making threatening phone calls or anything else is not helping the cause.
Okay. Can I bring up a point that I think is very interesting about this whole world and this whole imaginary, like, insaneness that apparently gamers have? I want to ask you a question. I'm posing this to anyone listening to this. If you stopped football or threaten to stop football, right? Like, I mean, if you went out and said NRL is a violent sport, it breeds violence in our young people, and we're going to put it to a stop, we're just going to take it away. Or we're just going to make it that anyone under 17 can't watch it, right? You would have 10,000 people smashing your windows, burning your house down, punching the lights out of everyone related to you, because that's the kind of sport that breeds violence, right? Video gamers sit at home and mumble. We complain. We write letters. We don't run out and beat you up. The fact that you got one person out there is probably more than we've had on our side actually doing anything about
this. And case in point, the discussion paper went up, what? It was a month ago, whatever it was. They have received a total, and we talked about the fact that they've looked at 1,600 of them or whatever it is. They have received a total of just over 5,000. Mm. Out of a population of 20 million people, that's not an awful lot of people who are getting involved.
Hmm.
All right? So gamers don't go out and stalk you and stuff like that. This one person is obviously, who is outside your house, is obviously a slightly deranged individual.
Yeah, right? And I mean, like, there's no way you could grab any group of people on the planet. You could grab stamp collectors, right? Hmm. There will be one or two people that are incredibly mentally deranged in the group of stamp collectors worldwide.
Yes.
Or even Australia-wide, because there are crazy people out there. It doesn't breed an entire group of us. This isn't what we're all like. This is one crazy person that took it to an extreme. Yet we will be blamed for that. Because
right.
Apparently we've become
problem is,
this.
It gives him ammunition to say, oh, look, the gamers are doing this. Yeah. So I would say to all you gamers out there as a public service announcement, stop. Mm. Write letters, address this issue intelligently.
Because you're not helping by doing it other ways. Look, we can say we don't like the man. We do that on the show. We can say that
I don't like the man.
Yeah. We can say that his viewpoints are pathetic. And
his
we
viewpoints
can also,
are pathetic.
And we can also say, and we can also say that he has no idea of the industry he is trying to.
That's too long a sentence.
Yeah, I was actually pausing because I was like, I just want you to not be able to say this.
No,
one.
I'm not
going to
say it.
But, like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you aren't helping by going out and doing this. When you go into a forum and go, fuck Michael Atkinson, nothing is helping, okay? You are not making the situation any better at all. You are just making it worse for the whole group of us.
Digital Angel in our chat room says that stamp collectors stalk you outside the post office.
I hope not.
And they try and mug you for your letters to get your stamps. Anyway, the point is, look, let due process go. If they get an overwhelming response and they still turn around and keep an R rating, then you go protest in the streets.
Mm.
At the moment, it's in process. Mm-hmm. Let it process.
Exactly.
You know?
It will be a sad loss for the entire world if they don't take this seriously, because out of those discussion papers, we already know that it was something like 1.12% of total letters that they've done so far
absolutely.
Have been against it.
Well, and out of the 1,600 or something, it was like 11.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like when you actually think about the fact that that's the amount, when we get to the end of this number, I can almost guarantee you that it will be in favor of games. Mm. I still don't think we'll be taken seriously.
No, I don't either. And the thing is, it doesn't matter at this point, it doesn't matter what Michael Atkinson, or it doesn't matter what the tally will end up being. Yeah. Michael Atkinson will find some way of turning those figures.
Oh, he's already started.
Because he started by saying, it's just gamers who are doing it.
He's branched out and he's planted his tree.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And his tree is going to grow the entire time this is going on. And by the time it's finished, he'll be like, well, look, I've had a look at the votes, and out of all the votes, there's only 10 of them that don't have a name that sounds like a gamer. So therefore, this is null and void, and we're going back to doing it.
What I would really like to see is I would really like to see our federal government go whisper in his ear and basically say, listen, Michael, I know you're opposed to it, but giving an R rating to games would actually allow us more control, and more games would come in, which means more tax revenue. And would also make that particular part of the population happy, and wouldn't that be a win-win in all situations?
Yeah.
You know, but that's never going to happen.
No, well, they probably already have posed that question, but his standpoints is all that keeps him in office.
Mm.
The fact that he does that is the only reason we even.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see at the end of this year, because I believe the election is at the end of this year, and there's all sorts of people who are opposing him. But he's in a very safe seat. But so was John Howard. So it'll be very interesting to see. John Howard, for the American listeners out there, was our prime minister who lost not only the last election, but he lost his seat, which was considered one of the safest seats in his constituents. So it'll be very interesting to see if Michael Atkinson actually holds office after this election. But then again, you know, stranger things have happened. We're going to go into a whole bunch of stuff about censorship in a little bit. So let's move away from Michael Atkinson for a moment and just say we here, the entire Geek Action Network, whether it be platforms or the tech show or the movie show, we actually really oppose his stance on all of this. We do believe that an R rating should be brought in for games. Mm-hmm. We also do believe that it is about parental control once it is in the house, which is Michael Atkinson's major complaint, saying there's no control. Yeah. It is and we would completely and utterly say at all times, once it gets into the house, it is the parents' responsibility.
Hey, look, I mean, if we're going to go this harsh stance on things like that, then an FHM magazine should not be allowed in the house.
Or an R-rated DVD.
And you should have someone that comes through my house weekly and make sure that I don't have any, you know, bad magazines, because apparently, you know, like that can
damage
my...
The child could get it. That's right. Absolutely.
My child could get that. It's like... The fact that it's digital technology somehow makes it different is...
His argument is it's about the fact that it's interactive and it's violence and it's games. And you know what? It's a game. Get over it. Mm-hmm. You know? It's a game. And there is actually, at this point in time, no definitive, and I'll say this one more time, no definitive psychological evidence either way as to whether or not games are psychologically damaging. Mm-hmm. There are arguments for and there are arguments against, but there is no definitive one stance. And look, if they could come to me and say, we have this study, it is measurable, it is repeatable, and we can prove without beyond a shadow of a doubt that violent video games damage people, then fine, ban them. Yeah. But at this point, if you can't prove this to me, then there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to play it.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, and my advice to anyone out there that is on the opposite side of this and wanting to, you know, sort of address us as gamers, you have to come to the table and play games. It's that simple. Hmm. Like, until you have been there, spent time with you and your family playing games, be them the violent ones, obviously sticking to our already obvious classification system, and don't play with your 7-year-old kid a 15-year-old game. If you follow the current restraints that are in order, and you play video games, and you can come to me with evidence, I will listen.
Yes.
Completely, without question.
We're not silly or stupid people. We know what's right and wrong. You know?
I mean, like, for the parents... need to understand as well that there is a parental control system on the consoles, and within Xbox it actually has a selective list of classifications for games which you actually put in the system, which actually blocks it from actually loading.
And any parent that comes to me and says that they have no idea about the classification system on something like an Xbox, this is something that comes up when you start the Xbox for the first time. One of the first things that comes up and asks you is, are you going to need to use the classification system? And it gives you a yes or no answer. If you don't use it, then you're just avoiding using a situation which will stop things like this.
Yes.
So,
anyway, all right. So for more coverage on this, Platforms also raises interesting issues like this. We always bring up censorship when it comes up because we are big fighters against censorship, but we will move on for the moment because we have a story about internet porn. Speaking of censorship.
Yay!
This is just a survey that was saying, this is really quick. This was a survey conducted by the ABC program Hungry Beast. They wanted to see how people actually felt about the internet censorship filter and about pornography online. And just 1 in 5... admitted that they look at looking at legal but sexually explicit material on the internet, and less than that number said they had stumbled across it by accident. 60%, including almost half of those aged between 18 and 29, said that they had never seen it. All right. Now,
Dave, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I know that we're going through this thing, but I just want to pull it right back to the start.
Sure.
You just read just the first few words again for me.
Just 1 in 5 respondents admitted to looking at legal but sexually explicit material on the internet.
No. What was that? Admitted?
Admitted. Because it's a survey.
Right, of course. Of course, we trust people in a survey talking about porn.
Absolutely. And this is where we get into a slightly stickier situation. Excuse the pun. Because it says, however, statistics actually don't show the same figures, because four of the major porn websites are among the top 100 sites visited by Australians as ranked by web traffic monitor Alexa. Mm. All four adult sites were more popular than the official sites of Qantas, the Yellow Pages, and the Australian Open.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want everyone to know that when you come into a store with a broken computer and you give it to an IT guy, we know. So stop trying to pretend that you don't look at porn. Yeah. Because when we come to you and you say your computer doesn't work, and I say to you, dude, listen, we got to have a talk at some of the websites you go into. This porn habit you've got, you got to clean it up. And I don't look at porn. It's like, all right, but you see these? They're called cookies, and you don't delete them. And so we know you go to porn. No, it's someone asked.
And see all these JPEGs in the thing called a cache? That's images that have been stored locally on your machine from websites you have visited.
It must be someone else. Like, yeah, no. Lying doesn't help, and it doesn't matter to any of us.
And let's say it one more time for the record. There is nothing wrong with porn. You know, if you want to go out and watch two people who are of consensual age engage in the act of sex, that's fine. Who cares, you know? It's like, get over it. Now, this survey also goes on to say that 80%, are you ready for this? This is the horrifying part. 80% of respondents said they supported the internet censorship filter.
That's a bunch of fucking bullshit.
However,
is this site devoted to grannies and old people?
This is Hungry Beast. Now, however, this is the interesting part. So when people say to me that they support the internet censorship filter or whatever, you have to ask them, do they actually understand what it is? Because according to this, it says even more overwhelming was the number of people who thought the system should be transparent. 91% said they thought the community should be told which websites had been placed on the filter blacklist. That's not going to happen. That's the whole point in the filter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the fact that nobody knows.
People don't understand just how bad an idea it is to open something like this up, because it's like this comes back to the early 90s and, you know, sort of like the whole trust no one X-Files kind of a situation. You don't realize this is giving back to the FBI and so on and so forth, or our, you know, a country equivalent, because basically they're just going to add stuff to that. It'll be like someone talks wrong about Michael Atkinson, boom, site gone, and they'll disappear, and then they'll just be like, oh, we didn't blacklist that. It just disappeared. Must have hit our filter or something.
Well, see, and that's the problem. Is it says here? It says 80% of respondents said they were supporting the system to block access to material that is refused classification.
But do they know what the words refuse classification
mean? Well, obviously not. But we're going to. I don't think Stephen Conroy actually understands what that means either. But it says here, it says such as child sexual abuse, bestiality, fetish porn, and instructions on drug use.
Okay, like I mean, okay, pull it back. We're talking about four very separate things. Child porn, yes, fair enough, makes sense.
Ban it. Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
If it's illegal bestiality in our society, then you know.
Bestiality, no interest in it. Fine, get rid of it. Next one, fetish porn. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's not okay for
people to dress up in leather and whip each other?
You know what? A lot of fetish porn actually gets banned in this country, or refused classification if you go to the refused classification website, because one of the restrictions on the R, on the X rating, which came into effect when everything got banned in the first place, was the fact that any violent depiction towards women was actually refused classification. So most bondage videos and stuff that you're actually seeing around that carry the X rating are actually not carrying the X rating. They have actually been refused. They're available illegally in this country. You're not allowed to show in this country in an X-rated movie, you are not allowed to show somebody dripping candle wax on somebody. It is actually forbidden in the guidelines of the OFLC.
Ha.
Shane, what are your thoughts on this? Would you like to watch people dripping candle wax on each other?
Yeah, do you think people should be allowed? Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, what was that?
I have nothing wrong against it.
No,
nothing
look, against and it, this, really, and, but this is such a sensible thing. It's like, look, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to watch people in bondage videos particularly. That's not really my thing. But if somebody does want to watch that, fine. That's their thing. Let them watch it. You know, yeah, that's I what mean, gets if, them off.
If Everybody's different with intimacy, and if two people want to do something different, well,
I love the fact we're mentioning fetish porn and intimacy in the same.
Oh,
paragraph.
It's very intimate. Or they would like to believe so, anyway. Look, I'm again, not a subject that needs classification. I just think it's funny that we put those three in the same situation. It's like people that want to dress up in leather and tie themselves to a bed, and people that try and have sex with small children. I'm like, well, those are. That's a very different thing.
And let's not forget the last one, which is instructions on drug use.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm not even quite sure why that's wrong. We're not actually promoting drug use, but if somebody was going to be, as an example, if somebody is going to shoot up heroin, wouldn't it make sense to be able to have a website that at least would explain how to do it safely?
Yeah. I mean, I would actually prefer to come back to the point of, like, people researching roles. For a movie or something like that, it just to see how it all goes. I mean, like, if it can be done in film, I don't really understand anyway. Look.
Oh, good Lord, have you been seeing our chat room? God, I've just glanced over the chat room. Digital Angel, my God. I'm not even going to repeat half of the stuff you got in there.
Wonderful. All right, anyway.
So the bottom line of this story is that everybody who is taking these surveys, you're friggin' lying, okay? Mm. And we know you're lying. And we know that the internet porn business is actually the second most profitable business on the planet next to video games. And so you sit there and look at it and go, stop lying, admit to it. If everybody actually took responsibility for it, there might not be so many hang-ups about it.
It's that old joke all over again, which was the fact that it was 95% of people look at porn, the other 5% are dirty liars.
Yeah, that's right. Very good, very good. All right, from the ridiculous to the sublime, this is just a really quick one because I found this late last night and I had a little geekgasm. Right there on
a little geekgasm.
I had a little geekgasm right there on the spot.
Is that just a...
It's just a, oh, I saw it and I went, oh, because I looked at this and I went, oh my God, Star Wars is close. They actually shot down a missile with a laser. And I thought this was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Apparently it is part of the Pentagon's Airborne Laser Prototype Weapon System. And it's actually a 747. So you can imagine this laser probably takes up the entire body of the 747. But they actually, they had decided they were going to construct seven of these, but they had recently had budget cuts and it's all kind of very bittersweet. Because, of course, the project is being canceled. But they did have a test flight in February. They flew this thing up there. Missile launched. They fired the laser from the air. They fired the laser at the missile and blew the crap out of the missile. And I thought, that is just so sweet.
Do we have pictures?
No!
They've got
the pictures in the article are these kind of spectral pictures, so they don't really tell us anything. Yeah. But there is actually a picture of, and I don't have it loaded on the board, but I'll put it up for the camera. There is actually a picture of the 747. Which is the specced out 747.
Is that a giant front laser cannon thing?
No, it doesn't actually. It looks like this. It's got a little lobby on its head, and it's got a funny little nose cone, and it's kind of an odd-looking little...
I do like the way that Digital Angel has simplified it. She said budget cuts on giant lasers. Who would have thunk it, right?
Yeah! Look, you're gonna have giant lasers... No, that's so cool. That's just, in the chat room. Are we all up for giant
look,
lasers?
Dude, it's obviously not that far away from Star Wars because I mean, if you think about it, man, the first computers took up the size of a room. First laser takes up the size of a
747. 747. And all I can say is
20 years from now, we have handheld lasers instead of guns.
And all I can say is pachu pachu.
we'll have a mass relay system as well.
Oh yeah. Somebody's been playing mass.
I just can't wait until we actually get handheld lasers because it'll be so funny to just totally disprove all of those movies you saw on TV where it's like zap and you shoot somebody in the chest and it misses all vital organs and just burns a hole and then seals it afterwards and they're like, that really hurt. Why would you do that? It's like, oh, sorry, I meant to.
I just think that the concept of particle weapons is awesome.
I would just love to see, it would be the least messy war we have in the entire world.
Yeah, because all wounds cauterized.
Exactly. So you'd just be running along, someone loses an arm, and there's just,
Then I don't even think we'll have soldiers on the field. It'll be robots. I mean, robots with particle weapons.
That'll be the gamers playing the robots.
That's right. The gamers are our future robot jocks. Did you guys ever see the movie Robot? No, we won't get into that. All right. Last news story, because this is this just made me giggle. By the way, I just wanted to state, I forgot, with that Michael Atkinson thing, I was listening to CNET's Buzz Out Loud this morning.
Mm.
And Michael Atkinson has actually even made the American news because they're talking about it. And I think Molly Wood summed it up best when she said, he's just against fun.
He's the fun police.
He's the fun police, man. Yeah. I just thought that was awesome. All right, so this is our last news story, and then we're going to move on to our major topic. But I actually have a picture for this one, Josh, because this is probably the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. Not the fact that they've made the doll, but the way they've dressed it. Anyway, Mattel announced the results for an online contest that they've been running for a while for this next generation of Barbie doll. And now you're going to say, tech, Barbie doll, what the hell are we talking about? But it turns out that they had an overwhelming response, and the two new Barbie dolls that will come out, you know, we do know that Barbie's been a doctor and a brain surgeon and a pilot and, you know, all the other occupations. The two new Barbie dolls coming out this year will be News Anchor, and I'm not sure how they're doing that one, and Computer Engineer Barbie. So in other words, they're doing Nerd Barbie.
Computer Engineer Barbie.
Computer Engineer Barbie. And here is Barbie Geek. Where are we? Cubicle Barbie, they call her. There she is. There's Barbie Geek. I'm bringing up on the screen for the audio listeners a picture of her. And of course, old.
Does she have tats?
No.
Oh, no. Sorry, the picture's very far away. Sorry,
guys. What she has is she has pink glasses, a pink smartphone, a pink laptop. She has a Bluetooth thing in her ear, apparently, which you can't see very well there, a pink watch, and her shirt has binary code all over it. Because, of course, this is how geeks
Obviously, they've never met a real geek girl. They usually will definitely not look like that.
No, and while I was scanning the internet looking for this particular picture, I happened to come across this other picture, which is a mock-up from somebody else. Now, I don't know who to give credit to, unfortunately, but I'm going to put this photo up, and I'm probably going to alienate Digital Angel in the chat room. But I just thought this would be the more appropriate Barbie to bring up.
So, nasty.
So this is the alternate geek
this
Barbie.
This is the WoW user edition.
The World of Warcraft Barbie. So what we've got in this picture, of course, is a obesely overweight Barbie. It's an amazing job they've done.
I have to say, like it or lump it, it's a fantastic Photoshop job.
That's fantastic. She's got a double chin and the whole. She's got a little packet of fast food down next to her cans of drink at the end of her bed.
It's much more close to a real geek, you know, thing. I'm not.
The lifestyle.
The lifestyle's much more, much closer.
I think, you know, replace that with Barbie, put Ken there, it'd be the same lifestyle. So anyway, we're going to have Geek Barbie coming out. I don't know how well Geek Barbie is going to sell, but she will be hitting stores.
Apparently really well, considering so many people obviously voted for it.
Well, yeah.
Well, Computer Engineer Barbie, that sounds awesome.
It says here that, just to confirm, it says she'll have...
Gamers are weird.
She has Bluetooth headset, a pink laptop, a smartphone, hot pink glasses. Oh, and she wears sparkly black leggings and a neon green shirt patterned with binary code. Oh, please. Anyway, I got to get rid of this picture because it's actually making me feel a bit ill.
I wonder if there'll be a talking one of it as well.
Oh, man, what would it say? No, just don't.
No, don't.
Just don't go there.
Don't do that.
It's safer for everyone's health.
Digital Angel says, I'll buy Geek Barbie. Oh, okay.
Oh, good for you.
You do that. You go buy Geek Barbie. I want to buy the other one.
Leave it on your lawn and watch it get chewed up by
I want somebody to send me one of the second ones I brought up.
Put it in the pack. I'd rather not.
Put the whole little set over there. Studio decoration. It'll be cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, we're going to move on to our major topic of the day. Now, I seem to have lost my show notes as usual. Ah, there. Okay. Now, what kind of sparked all this, just a little bit of brief history here, is the fact that Google... has had to censor its search results since 2006 when they finally put the google.cn domain into effect. They agreed with the Chinese government that they would actually restrict some of the policies. Well, not that they wanted to, mind you, but this is how they were doing business. Google's belief was, according to an article I've got here, their belief was that they were hoping that over time trust would start to build and they would start to censor less and less and less, right? And it would start to get to that. Whether they were a little bit naive to the whole thing, I don't know. But it says that in January 12th, 2010, though, this year, they were actually hacked. Now, the hacking on this was precision hacking. According to all reports,
the kind that wasn't Backyard Bob with his local laptop sitting there it wasn't next to a power box going, you know what, this is going to be funny for a laugh.
Yeah, in fact, it actually says in this article here, it says the attacks, where are they? Where is it? It actually says that they were attacked, and the information that was people were going through was the Gmail accounts of people who were known dissidents and stuff like that. So it was a very, very pointed attack, and apparently the Trojan that actually did the attack was so overwritten it actually deleted itself on exit, and you know, it was just a really, really precision piece of work. After a couple of weeks of umming and ahhing and what was going on, Google basically finally came out and said that they believed it was the Chinese government doing this, although that was always the speculation. But they finally came out with formal complaint saying that they were going to, from this point onwards, not bow to China anymore, and they were going to completely uncensor Google in China. China came back and said, you can't do that, you're not allowed to do that, and Google said, well, fine, we're leaving. Mm. And we're going to pack up shop and we're going to go. If we don't get to go uncensored, we're leaving. Mm. Now, since that time, things have softened a little bit. Google is actually still in China. They're in negotiations. And in fact, Sergey, what's his name? Sergey Brin, is it? The co-founder of Google?
Oh, yeah.
Has actually said that he's in negotiations, and he's hoping that, you know, even if it takes a couple of years, they're actually still negotiating to try and figure this out and try and work something out. All right. This brings, we'll come to the second half of this in just a second. There's actually a punchline to all of this, which is quite funny. But so far, what do we think of this? Do we think that it was the Chinese government? I mean, we're only going on speculation. It's all opinion at this point.
Well, look, it's got to be someone of great sort of importance. And China sort of not saying something one way or another doesn't really change the idea in my mind that out of anyone that would have reason to hack them, it would be either them or some other large-party government body, right?
True.
Yeah, so whoever it was, it's out there, they've done this sort of thing, and I think more importantly, it's also a good it's a good way for Google to bridge the problem that they have with China for years, which has been the idea that they're so locked down in China anyway. So it kind of, it was just fuel to a fire that was already going. I mean, we know, we've heard before that they've had problems with China and...
Well, they actually apparently got shut down. Google got shut down in 2002.
Yeah, I remember.
It was completely blocked by China for 2 weeks.
Exactly. So. And it's like, so things like that have always happened with China. So it's kind of, they know, it's kind of the whole situation of you have a guy run up and, you know, throw rocks at your window for an entire month and then your window breaks, you're probably going to blame the guy that's been throwing rocks at your window.
Or the one gamer outside your door.
Yeah, obviously. I was leading into that. You stole my punchline.
Sorry,
anyway,
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. No, it's cool. Look, I know that there's advantages that we don't like to, in the Western society, talk about much with having it in China because it's a lot easier to have, you know, sort of workforce style things run in China. It's a lot, you know, cheaper to run things over there. So, I mean, the idea of pulling out there and going somewhere else, we talked about that on the show that we brought that up, would be a hell of an expensive thing for them to do.
Interestingly enough, though, what I did find out that I did not realize before is that Google has never actually put servers in China.
Oh, really?
No, apparently they've kept all of their servers US-based. So they're basically saying that they can never have their records subpoenaed by the Chinese government because their records don't actually exist on Chinese soil.
Yeah.
Which would explain why China is in there hacking them.
Yeah.
Whereas this brings up the case of Yahoo, which actually bowed to Chinese pressure when it turned over the emails of democracy activist, and I'm not even going to try and say his name, Wang Xiaoning, I think it is, of Beijing, to the Beijing authorities when they were asked. And they actually handed over all of his records with a subpoena because their servers were on Chinese soil. And so they were basically obligated to. And Google has never done something as stupid as that. So Google is smart. They've kept all their base at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been smart for them to leave if they had to, because, well, they do have a lot of money anyway. I mean, doesn't China still have active nuclear weapons?
Yeah,
a lot.
Look, I mean, the way it works is this sort of conversation in any sort of marketing or political situation is when you even say the words pull out, you know, when you say we're taking our stuff and leaving, the idea will swirl in their heads, be it whether people leave or not. So they know that you're willing to go to that level. Mm. So, I mean, if nothing else, it's worked positively in that way.
Now, there is actually one particular story going around at the moment. Now, there doesn't seem to be any proof or any evidence to this, but it is actually a really interesting theory. And it is worth one bringing up, which is that this is actually politically organized. Now, the reason why this came up is they said that America can't actually say something to China about their human rights violations or anything else, because one sovereign nation talking to another sovereign nation or criticizing another sovereign nation could be considered an act of war and, you know, and all sorts of other issues like that. However, Google's a private company, and a huge private company at that. So one speculation that has been kicking around a lot is, has the American State Department whispered in Google's ear and has said, if you make this magnanimous gesture, it would really help us? Because as soon as this broke, Hillary Clinton gave a press conference. And Hillary Clinton came out condemning China and the world, basically any country that has strict censorship issues and so forth. She came out condemning all of that. Are you listening, Stephen Conroy? Sorry. basically condemning all of those people saying that, you know, the internet should be free. There shouldn't be this censorship bound on it. People have human rights and blah, blah, blah. Now, she would not have been able to give them that speech had we not had the Google issue come
up.
So there is a very strong argument that says that has the State Department said to Google, if you make this bid, and even if you pull out, that's fine. It's just that we can't make that first step. But a large corporation could.
You know? No, it's an interesting call, and I'm definitely not saying that it's not a possibility, but it's one of those things that is really not much point in putting any heat on, because the truth is you're never actually going to be able to prove that.
I know. That's the part that bugs me about it. I'd just love to know if somebody would come out and actually say it. But the problem is the government could never admit to that, because if the U.S. government came out and admitted to it, that's as good as them saying it in the first place. So they can never admit to it. So anyway. Okay. So now what's happened, the state of play at this point, is how does this affect other companies? If Google pulls out of China, let's just make the assumption that Google is going to pull out. Okay, because that is one of the options on the table. If Google pulls out of China, how does that make all the other companies look? You know, I mean, when you look at it, when you go, Yahoo is over there, Microsoft is over there, you know, big companies are all over there. And you sit there and say, Google makes a big magnanimous gesture and says, we are pulling out because you are breaching human rights and you are censoring the web. And Microsoft and Yahoo say, no, we're staying here. What does that say about them as companies? Anybody?
Maybe they may have something big to offer on the plate, perhaps. Maybe Microsoft at the moment is sitting on the sidelines, like you mentioned a while ago, before. They might have something big, perhaps.
Or if you want to hear Microsoft's completely non-committal answer to this, it actually says, where is it? Microsoft, for its part, says it won't comment on its Chinese operations, except we have no indication that any of our mail properties have been compromised. End of quote. You know, it's like, okay, so what you're saying is, if you were attacked, that's a different story. But the fact that you weren't attacked, you don't care.
Pretty much. Like, I mean, it really, it just means that they don't think that they have a problem.
Well, we already know that Bing and Microsoft Search and stuff are all heavily censored. They completely bow to it and censor everything, and they don't seem to have a problem with this, because, once again, it comes down to the almighty dollar. You know, when you think about it, it all comes down to this almighty dollar. And how do we know this in particular? Well, I happen to have a quote here, or an article here, from v3.co.uk website that actually says, Google Chief Executive Eric Schmidt said after the firm's... I just love the way this is worded. Are you ready? Said after the firm's fourth quarter financial results were released that he is committed to staying in China.
Oh, wow. He's looked at it and go, God damn, look at all that money.
So the CEO of Google would like to stay there because there's obviously a whole lot of money to be made in China.
Fair enough.
Google as a presence in itself, I think, is a little bit less committed to that. So
yeah, I think Google are working, like we've talked before, that they're the front runners at the moment for, you know, the big sort of industry titan. And you have to affirm yourself as that kind of a situation. And a very easy way to do that is to be the kind of person that will just throw yourself against something and just be like, fuck off.
Well, yeah, and obviously...
It's a hell of a statement. Yeah. Like, the whole world shook when, you know, Google said, I'm pulling out of China. Everybody's head kind of does that.
Because it's a bold move. I mean, let's face it, just on a fiscal level, it's a bold move. How much money is Google going to take a bath on for that?
Yeah.
But the plot thickens. Let's get to the punchline. Let's skip to the punchline. The punchline from Boing Boing. Now, I have to thank Atomic Betty, who is a long-term listener of ours. She actually emailed me this article and actually almost made me snort my coffee out my nose when I read this. According to the Boing Boing article dated February 11th, Stephen Conroy, our esteemed communications minister and the architect of the internet censorship filter, apparently approached Google and said that they want Google to censor YouTube. They want them to actually remove all YouTube videos that are refused classification. All right, let's just stop at that part to start with and say Google doesn't carry classifications on their videos, which means by definition all Google videos are refused classification or have
so
not.
It's interesting that it goes straight to that because obviously you know so much about this.
Yeah. So, all right, so that's the first part that this article actually says the Australian government's, in brackets, batshit crazy request. Right?
Well, like, I mean, the thing that makes this even better, the thing that we need to establish before we go even further is you've got Stephen Conroy, right? Now, look, I like Australia, I really do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't, but we're small. In the things that we're tiny. He's like a child. And he's like a child walking up to Google, who is like the dad, right? And then that's big enough. And then you've got YouTube on the side. So it's like someone walking up to a father and telling the father to tell somebody else to stop doing something. It's just, he's just going to look at him and go, shut up and go to your room.
Yeah, which is pretty much what Google did.
It's like little sister, big daddy.
spoken like a true gamer. And it's very much exactly what happened. Apparently Stephen Conroy went to Google and asked them to do this removal, and his quote, and I give this quote to you in the coffee spitting moment that it was for me: Google at the moment filters an enormous amount of material on behalf of the Chinese government. They filter an enormous amount of material on behalf of the Thai government. Does he not read newspapers? Does he not watch the news? Does he not know that Google just said we're not censoring for China anymore? Yeah. You know,
it's just so great though, because it's just that befuddles me. Just the fact that the guy in charge of our internet censorship, our technology representative, the man on high in Australia that commands everything that is this way, walks up to Google, and says, I want you to stop these people doing this. And it just boggles my mind. Who does that kind of thing? You wouldn't see any other part of our government walking up to... You wouldn't see, like, our defense minister walking up to, you know, sort of, like, Cambodia or China or something like that and go, hey, stop your guys from fighting. Because they might start fighting and then it might spread somewhere else.
But you know what? Australia has a history of doing that too. We go over and talk to Indonesia like we have any sort of power over Indonesia. We suddenly go, you shouldn't do that. Indonesia must look at us going, who the hell are you?
It's like, didn't I see you once on TV or something?
You have this great big country and a really small population, which means you've got an awful lot of border to protect. Australia often has a much higher inflated sense of themselves. Anyway, shall we have Google's response? Google's response was, quite simply,
no.
Get stuffed.
I can just imagine, it's on the phone as well. It's not like a we'll talk to our people and we'll get back to you. It's the guy at the front desk. He's just sitting there on the phone and the guy's like,
coffee,
uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. No.
the quote from Google itself, the quote from, now I'm going to massacre this name. I'm going to massacre her name. Her name is Iarla, I-A-R-L-A, Iarla? I don't know. Iarla Flynn. Let's call her Ms. Flynn. Ms. Flynn said, quote unquote, YouTube has clear policies about what content is allowed, what content is not allowed. For example, hate speech and pornography, and we enforce these, but we can't give any assurances that we would voluntarily remove all refused classification content from YouTube. End quote. as far as YouTube is concerned, go take care of your own problems, mm-hmm. you know?
Why didn't he go straight to YouTube?
YouTube is owned by Google.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, YouTube is owned by Google, so of course he went to the mothership, and the mothership said, get stuffed. Yeah. So, Stephen Conroy, my advice to you is, your communications minister, how about you read the newspaper or watch the news once in a while and actually see what is happening in the world before you make these stupid-ass comments? Unbelievable. When I read that, as I say, I literally snorted coffee out my nose. I just like, really? How could you make, from a political point of view, how can you make a blunder like that?
Mm.
You know, I mean,
how can you walk up directly after something that big, something that, like I said, shook the technology world?
Yes.
Like every podcast that day, every speech, every paper, every blog site had that stated on it to say, this is incredible, just to see them take the step of power against the Chinese, and then just have that day, just, you know, Stephen Conroy sitting in his backyard reading a book going, I wonder what's happening in the world today.
No,
he doesn't even say that. He just says, I think what we should do is...
Yeah, I've got a brainstorm. Let's go straight to the nerve center.
I bet he actually does live out in the woods where dial-up still exists somewhere.
And, dude, wouldn't that just be an ironic
300-baud modem.
Wouldn't that be an ironic picture to see in your head? Would just be to have the guy that runs our country with, like, a 10-year-old phone and, like, a computer that... You know, no, dude, one of your...
I was thinking, like, TRS-80 or an Apple II.
No, come on, let's be realistic, man. He's got a super fast work machine. He's got a, you know, sort of power...
A G3
power, and it's just sitting there on his desk, and when he boots up, he's got to connect to his signal all via his internet, you know, connection, which is the super fast 56K dial-up, and yeah, he just connects to the thing, and
I was thinking 28.8K.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, I bet his newspaper doesn't come by truck, it comes by horse.
This man is so far from reality.
I think Digital Angels hit it on the head in our chat room. She says the prerequisite for being a politician is to have at least 3 chromosomes missing from the genetic code. Yes. Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up on that, guys, because we've been going for almost an hour here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bottom line is, we posed a question at the beginning of this show, which is, has the tide turned a little? I think we are actually seeing something happen here.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole point. I think with Google making its grand statements like that, with people being able to see Conroy for the idiot that he is over there, for people being able to see Atkinson for the idiot that he is, we're starting to see some kind of rational movement.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I think it's still a long way off. I don't think we're any closer. Mm. I think things are, there's a very strong possibility things may get worse before they get better. We may have the internet censorship filter instigated. Before we go any further, though, let's just clear up one misconception about this internet censorship filter. I was listening to an American podcast, and they really don't understand what's going on down here. And I do invite any American podcast who would like to know the real story of what's going on down here with this filter to get in touch with us. We will gladly come on their show and help them out a little bit. The internet censorship filter has been the trials, quote unquote, by Stephen Conroy, excuse me, have been declared a success. He is now going to take it to election, which means that the internet censorship filter isn't just going to magically come on one day and we're all going to be blocked.
Mm.
To get this passed, he has to take it to an election. We have a federal election at the end of this year. Now, if Rudd's government wins that election and they still have their majority share and they do take this as one of their platform issues, then yes, it will probably be put into effect.
Mm.
However, if Rudd loses government or they lose majority in the government or anything, or, you know, they start getting those sort of landslide hits where it looks like they get told something by their constituents, then it may not get brought into effect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So at this point, though, it's not just coming on. It's not some magical thing where they say, yes, it's been passed. They cannot pass it without the election. It's too big an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have breathing room. We have until at least October before anything's going
to
happen.
I would just find it interesting to see what he actually says as the opening statement for obviously why this filter is getting in effect, like generally speaking, like with the public. Like he says, We're having too many citizens in Australia surfing porn, and I just don't think it's practical.
Let them surf porn. What the hell? Who cares? As long as they're not surfing stuff that is illegal. Yeah. You know, I don't find this thing. All right, on that note, we're going to get out of here. All right, we got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of, and then we're going to move out of here. First thing we're going to say in our housekeeping, and we'll just see if we can actually bring up some slides for our visual listeners this time. Visual listeners? Visual watchers, whatever. First thing we're going to bring up is that we do have a voicemail line. So if you do agree, disagree, or want to pose a question to us, or you have thoughts on this issue, you can call 02-8011-3167. All we ask is that you keep your message short, and you do specify which of the three shows it is for at the beginning, so we know which way to send the voicemail. As we said, you can watch this show live. We go out live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Australian Eastern. Geekactually.com/live is the address for this show. And if you do miss it, we do replays forever on the show. You just have to search for replay on the Geek Actually website, and you will find the episodes. If you want to send email, feedback. We love feedback. Send us anything you want. Questions, requests for topics, whatever you like, at geektech@geekactually.com. Feel free to send your feedback to us for anything. Now, we also have some merchandise. If you want to help support our site at all, you can also help by buying some merchandise. We have t-shirts, we have mugs, we have all sorts of wonderful things. You can go to cafepress.com.au/geekactually and have a look around in there. And we also have a fan page, which is where we put a lot of our news up from our website. We feed it over to the website, and the fan page is facebook.com/geekactually. Now, I do also believe Josh has fan pages and all sorts of wonderful stuff for platforms. Do you want to plug platforms?
I do. Well, obviously, we have the main one, which is the Facebook one, which is facebook.com/platforms. That's PFROM.
Don't ask.
If you want to ask one of us on the actual site.
Look, the easiest thing I can say about the Facebook page is just go to Facebook and type into the search bar platforms, and it comes up.
Yes, I've noticed that. And, of course, on top of that, I also have my own. Anyone, including our new guest in the chat room, is more than welcome to add me on Facebook, which is just Facebook/GeekJosh, one word.
Fantastic. Cool. All right. And we also have our other show as well, which is just called the Geek Actually Podcast, which is all about movies and television. And that goes out on Saturday. That's our long-standing show. It's up to this week will be episode 72. So we've been doing that for quite some time. And as we said at the head of the show, we will be doing Shutter Island, reviewing Shutter Island this week. And you can catch that live as well, which is at 12 p.m. on Saturdays, Australian Eastern Time. All of these shows, by the way, can also be searched for in iTunes as audio podcasts, which is their, which is in the case of the two Geek Actually shows, the preferred format. Platforms is a visual show. You should come along and actually watch that one, because Platforms has a lot of fun. Just a couple of shout-outs to a couple of our friends. In particular, we want to put a shout-out to the Movie Fan House. The Movie Fan House is a podcast all about movies. It's by fans for fans. And the reason we need to put a particular shout-out for them this week is because Dave Kaziki and myself from the Saturday show both guest starred on it. And I think we broke them, Josh.
Good on you. Because I told you had to.
I think we broke them because they're supposed to come out on. They're supposed to come out today. Their normal release date is today, and they haven't shown up yet. So I think
Dave has that ability to do.
Well, this is actually the second podcast I've broken. So I think I may have broken them. But if they do come out this week's episode, we review the Wolfman. It was a lot of fun. Dave and I had a blast on their show. So do check out themoviefanhouse.com, which is check out the Movie Fan House on iTunes or at moviefanhouse.com. And our very good friends and fellow gamer geeks, the Real Junkies over at weekendronin.com. Now, we always have to give them a plug because every single week on their show, they plug our shows. And in fact, they've even put us on the front page of their website, which is just insane. For those in the visual room, you can see a slide up there. And for the audio listeners, weekendronin.com, or search for Real Junkies, R-E-E-L. Junkies on iTunes, and you can have a listen to their podcast. They do movie reviews fueled by tequila, which is a lot of fun. All right, I think that's everything. Have we done everything? There's only one more thing I just do want to mention very quickly, and this was in all the podcasts. We have a survey up online. If you go to the Support Us link on geekactually.com, first thing you'll see, the first option for helping us is about taking a survey. That survey will help get us matched. All of our shows will help get us matched with potential sponsors. So if you could just take a few minutes just to take that survey, that would really, really help the entire network. So other than that, though, I think that's it for all of us. You can be found personally at Facebook as well, oh, yes. I believe. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
same for myself on Facebook as well.
Yep, so just search for Shane Gregory. Or search
or Nexus81, I believe it finds it, I believe, as well.
You're lucky to always get the same username on everything.
Yeah, I know.
All right, are we out?
I think we out, okay. As the urban slang goes.
As the urban slang goes. Okay, so I think we'll just finish this by saying that just to remember that we're geeks, including our chat room, because they're pretty geeky too, so that you don't have to be, and we can hopefully explain all of this a little bit clearer to you. All right, and we'll see you all next week.